Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. One of the things we do as we go round as directors of FIC is try to do a write-up on the churches that we've been to. I'm really excited about the prospect of doing a write-up about Hook. It's time to dish the dirt. No, I'm joking. You're so creative here, and I just want to kind of convey what you're doing here this morning, because part of being a family, a fellowship of churches, is that actually you can have an influence upon other churches within the family of FIEC. So if we post an article up on the website, that will be seen by literally hundreds of other churches, and hopefully will be a stimulus, because I think every church should do what you're doing today once a year. To remind ourselves that we're all in this together. We're all called to the front line. It's not about particular people. If we're Christ, he's sovereign over our life. He's put us where he's put us, and he wants us to live for him there. So I'm really thrilled about what you're doing. I want to ring that message out. So I shall be getting a hold of Paul. Actually, I'll get him to write it, and I'll just put my name at the bottom probably. He's obviously got a lot of thought gone into today, but I just want to get that message out. So the Lord bless you for what you're doing. Now, we're going to think this morning about the name, a name. In order to do that, firstly, I want you to come with me to Philippians chapter 2, a very famous passage. Philippians chapter 2. If you've got a church Bible, do you have a church Bible or not? You do. I'm not sure what page that is on. I could probably find out, could I? Is it this one? Probably not. No, that's really... Somebody, if you've got a church Bible, just shout out the page number. 1179, thank you very much. It's Philippians and chapter 2. Then when you've found that, would you keep a finger there and flip back to the middle of the Bible to Proverbs, Proverbs 22. So it's Philippians chapter 2 on page 1179, and then Proverbs 22, which is page... 657, thank you very much. So page 657, but firstly Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Speaking to Christians, this is what the Holy Spirit says through the Apostle Paul. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Then please, back in Proverbs 22, just one proverb, the first proverb, verse 1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. In Romeo and Juliet, William Shakespeare put these words in the mouth of Juliet. What's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other name, would smell as sweet. In other words, the essence of a flower or plant, or come to that, a person, remains whatever name or label you put upon it. What's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other name, would smell as sweet. And whilst that's true, it's also true there's a particular linkage between name and nature. In other words, let me do this little thing with you. If I mention a name, I want you to just call out what instinctively you think of. Okay? Let's go. Because each one of these names is going to conjure up to you a characteristic that's associated with that person. There's a link between name and nature. Luis Suarez. Biting. Osama bin Laden. Terrorist. Winston Churchill. Victory. Pele. Homer Simpson. See, you didn't want to own up to watching it, but Adolf Hitler. Nazi Holocaust. Mother Teresa. Saint. Nelson Mandela. Peacemaker. Freedom. Jesus Christ. Joseph Stalin. Margaret Thatcher. You get the point. You see, in the Bible, your name carries huge importance and significance. In fact, the Bible is so taken up with names, isn't it? We have what we call genealogies, that we wonder what all those lists of names and generations are about. But actually, they are key to understanding what God is about in the story of salvation in the Bible. But those names carry significance. What's more, by naming people, the Bible is telling us something very important about ourselves as human beings. And that is this, that God does not see us as simply a mass of humanity, but he sees us as individually created in his image, with personal significance, personal worth, personal meaning and dignity and value. In the Old Testament, you remember that naming was a kind of declaration of your power over another person or another thing. So what did Adam do with the animals? He named them. He named the animals. It was part of subduing the creation. David conquers a city and he renames it. Most important of all, God himself lays claim to a people, and what does he call them? Israel. By calling them Israel, he's calling them by his name. 2 Chronicles reminds us of that. I've called these people by my name. They belong to me. They are under my rule. They are under my care and protection. They are my treasured possession. So the link between name and ownership is vital in our understanding of the Bible. So what's in a name? Well, the Hebrew word for name is the word sem, which can also mean sign or memorial or monument. So your name in the Bible is far more than an identity tag. More often than not, it's actually saying something about who you are, about your character, or about your destiny. So Joshua means savior. Nabal means fool. You see, the name carries significance. We just still do that the same today, don't we? If we have children, we think long and hard about naming them. Because in a sense, we're expressing a longing, an aspiration, an ambition for them that's linked to the name. Now, in making this link between our name and our character, the Bible is saying, in effect, that your name is an extension of who you are. The Nephilim were told in Genesis, mighty men of old. In fact, they're called men of renown. Literally, in Genesis 6, verse 4, men of the name. Men of the name. And then later on in Genesis, you remember with Babel, what were people trying to do when they built the Tower of Babel? They were trying to make do you remember what it says? A name for themselves, a renown, a significance, an importance. At the same time, a person doesn't need to remain how they're named. So throw me out some names of people who underwent a name change, which signified actually something radical that had happened in their life, or actually in their character. No, in the Bible. I don't think Cassius Clay is in the Bible. Thank you very much. That was a really contemporary one. Thanks, Aris, but try and stay with it, love. Okay. In the Bible. Come on. We start in Genesis. Saul, okay. Saul becomes Paul of Tarsus. There's a significance in that name change. Abram becomes Abraham. Okay, there's a significance in that name change. What about the guy who was a twister and a manipulator, the Arthur Daly of his day? Jacob becomes Israel. You see, you don't have to stay where you're at. So again, this whole idea of naming in the Bible is kind of central and important to this idea of identity and ownership and belonging. So when it comes to this proverb that I've chosen for today, for this frontline Sunday, a good name is more desirable than great riches. It's to be esteemed is better than silver or gold. We've got to understand some of the importance that the Bible attaches to name. That's why I've done that kind of introduction there. Just to settle in our mind the value, the importance, the integrity of a name in the Bible. In other words, in this proverb, it's saying there's actually a choice to be made. Do you remember the Proverbs work like this, don't they? It's back there in Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom. In other words, there are two paths to be chosen through life. The way of God, the way of man. The one is the way of the wise, the other is the way of the fool. The one leads to life, the other leads to death. There's a choice to be made. Now that runs right throughout the Proverbs. So when we come to Proverbs 22 verse 1, that's what's going on here. It's setting before us two paths, two ways. It's saying this, isn't it? A good name is more desirable than great riches. Now how that speaks into our contemporary situation, doesn't it? Because our world says exactly the opposite. Actually, it doesn't matter about your name. Your name is kind of, it might be synonymous with biting people and so on. What matters is that you're a celebrity, that you might make the rich list in the Sunday Times, or you might be amongst the 100 most important people in Time magazine. It switches it completely. But Proverbs says to us, no. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good name is more desirable than great riches. So we've got a choice before us. And it's a choice that, as I thought about this Sunday morning, it just seemed to kind of resonate with the whole idea of front line and being on the front line. Do we want a good name or a good life? It's a familiar challenge from the pages of the Bible, but ultimately what lies behind it are those words of Jesus, isn't he, when he says, you either follow me or mammon. You either go God's way or the way of the world. There's a choice to be made. We recently had the very sad case of Chris Hume and his wife. Their downfall was actually this very choice, wasn't it? They were more concerned about great riches, great significance, great offices of state than they were a good name. That mattered more, but ultimately it brought about their catastrophic downfall. And this proverb is calling us to remember that there's a fundamental decision that every one of us are going to have to take every day. Sometimes we're not even going to have time to think about it. And unless this is written on our hearts as Christians, we will often make the wrong call. That it's about a good name. Choices will come our way in the big and small things of life. And what matters is that we pursue the way of wisdom, that we really believe and are committed to this truth, that a good name is more desirable than great riches. Now, in the company of one another, in the comfort of this room, on a Sunday morning, we might think that's a no-brainer. Of course I'm going to choose a good name. Of course I'm not going to be corrupted. Of course I'm not going to be led astray and so on. But my friends, you know, the reality is, come Monday morning, come indeed every day of this week, we will be forced in the big and small decisions of life to make a choice. And the choice is, what matters more to us? The approval and acclaim of our God, or the approval and acceptance of our fellow human beings? That's the fundamental thing. Will we think more of what God thinks of us, or will actually, when the rubber hits the road, we'll be more concerned what other people think of us? Now, for every Christian, there is one supreme motivation to pursue a good name, and it comes with the very name and title that we bear. Christian. Whose name are we bearing? Christ. That's the point. So on the front line, I'm known as a Christian. I bear the name of Christ. So there is something in my life that is to reflect the value, the life, the aims, the way, the truth of Jesus Christ. So how do you go about living God's way? How do you choose the wise way? How do you become this greatest of all blessing to those on your front line? Well, you simply remember that you bear the name Christian. Day by day, you take this proverb with you and you remind yourselves that as a Christian, you're the most privileged person in all the world because you bear the name of Christ. And with that, you bear his love, you bear his kindness towards you, you bear his acceptance, you enjoy all that God has given you in Christ. But with that great privilege comes great responsibility, because we bear his name. You remember we did that fun thing, I hope it was a fun thing at the beginning, when I just threw out different names and we made the connection, didn't we? You can do it about any person in your life. Just think for this very moment of one person in your life. And immediately will come to your mind something about that person. Either that they're generous or that they're mean. That they're loving or they're spiteful. That they're patient or they're prickly. That they're optimistic or they're pessimistic. That they're funny or they're frumpy. That they're reliable or they're unreliable. That they're honest or they're deceptive. They're responsible or they're irresponsible. You see, many characteristic traits flash through our mind in a millisecond, don't they? When we link a name and a person. Now, we bear the name of Christ. Help me again, please. Just shout out one at a time something of the character traits of Christ. So what does his name conjure up to you? Just think of his name and think of a word that describes him. And we know that there are thousands of words needed to describe him, but just let's have a few. Okay? So the name of Christ, what does it conjure up? What's the characteristic? Love, Savior, compassion, mercy, humility, truth, kindness, grace, power, forgiveness, majesty. You see, it goes on. The name. Now, we bear that name. God's Holy Spirit, Christian, is in the business of forming Christ's character in us. It's a very long-term project. I may have told you this story before, but Andy Wyatt and I, one of the elders at Chesham, were once in the Philippines visiting Derek and Liz Daniel, who were there with OMF. And in the Philippines, they love their T-shirts. Well, you do in a nice, warm climate, don't you? But they love having things on their T-shirt. And there was this guy coming towards us, and he had this T-shirt that said on the front, "Don't give up on me. Don't give up on me." So I thought, well, it must be a pop group or something. It's certainly not a football team. Don't give up on me. It could be a football team. What's that about? Don't give up on me. It's only when he passed by that we we got the whole message. But for on the back of the t-shirt, it said, God's not finished with me yet. Don't give up on me. God's not finished with me yet. Christian, that's the message for each of us, isn't it? And the older we get, we think God's amazingly patient. Amazingly patient. But he is forming the characteristics of Christ in us. Are we more humble? Are we more caring? All those things you called out. Are we more caring of people? Are we more tolerant of people? Are we more understanding? Are we more compassionate than we were a year ago? Christ is forming himself in us. So you see the connection. The expectation of the Lord is this. He puts his name upon us, the name of his son Jesus, the name of Christ, so that when people look at us, this is an amazing challenge, they should see something reflected of the character of God himself. Looking at our lives, they should see something of the value, the worth that we put upon him. Something of the family likeness should grin through. Because we are born in his image. He is our elder brother. Now, it's a stiff test to ask ourselves, isn't it? But we've got to do it if we bear the name of Christ. When my name is mentioned, what image of me comes to mind in another person? Is there anything of Christ there? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul goes on, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, if we're the only contact that somebody has with the gospel of Jesus Christ, if our behavior, if our words, if our attitude to them is the only connect they're going to get with the gospel, what impact are we making? What message are we giving? It's a huge challenge. This is why I think frontline is a brilliant thing to do. It's a very scary thing to do, isn't it, in a way, to ask ourselves that question. If somebody were to look at my life, would they see something, just something, of what it means to be a Christian? Now, I haven't come here for us to beat ourselves up, because I would say the answer to that question, amongst those of you that I know, is a resounding yes. Because the community of God's people has the opportunity in this day and age of selfishness to stand in stark contrast to the world around. And I rejoice when I see that in Christian people. It's a wonderful, humbling, marvelous, glorious thing, only brought about by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I just want to encourage us on this Sunday morning to ask ourselves this. Does the mention of your name in your workplace, in your front line, in your home, in your street, in your community, bring joy or dismay to God and the reputation of the gospel? That is an awesome responsibility. That's why we need to be dependent and mindful of his power day after day. Because we bear the name, we bear the reputation of Christ and his church. And that's the legacy that we pass on to our family, to our friends, to our colleagues, to our fellow Christians. Reputations, you see, are built action by action, deed by deed, over a lifetime. Some of you will remember Moira Black. Who remembers Moira Black? I know Pat Inch does because she worked with her. Moira was a lovely lady at Chessington, Scottish lady from Aberdeen. If she ever went back to Aberdeen, it was a disaster because you could never understand her for the next 3 weeks because she'd retrieved an Aberdonian accent. But Moira Black was never going to have great riches. Why? Because what she did have, she was so generous in giving to people. And when the Lord took her to glory, and when we gathered to thank God for her life, person after person, story after story came out of the simple acts of kindness and generosity by which she had blessed their lives. You see, we leave a legacy. And the question is, what legacy do we want to leave behind? What do you want to leave behind? What do I want to leave behind? It begins right now, doesn't it? A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Now, we're going to end with a bit of interactive stuff. Okay? So if you're a visitor, just observe. So I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. But for those who regularly gather here, I want you to do something for me, please. Firstly, think of somebody in your life think of that person, makes you want to be a bit like them. And why? Okay, I'll give you half a minute to think about that. Somebody in your life who makes you want to be a bit like them. I wish I was like that. Now, this is not the opportunity for wives to say to husbands, there you are, I wish you were like so-and-so. Okay? We're not doing that. No. We're not pointing fingers. No, no, no. This is, what person is it? Those people in your lives who you kind of look at. And then I'm going to ask you, not to call out their name, but just to call out the characteristic, what it is about them. Okay, so I'll give you 30 seconds. You haven't had 30 seconds yet. This is a very unruly congregation, Paul. I'm not sure what's going in here. It's kind of... Some of us need a bit longer. Okay, with that, thank you. A closer walk with God. You look at somebody and you think, I just want to be at that kind of closer walk with God. I think of that sometimes with older people. You know, older people can be such a blessing or such a curse to a church, can't they? They really can. Because the older person who's like Psalm 1, who's got the roots going down deep into the water, into Christ... They're just old age. It's just a fruitful time where that other person centered. Chesington has been blessed over the years by men and women who in their 80s and 90s were just like that. And they had a close walk with God. Sometimes that kind of comes towards the latter part of our lives, but it's a very important one. Closer walk with God. Thank you. Another one. Somebody who's patient. Yeah, somebody who's patient. I wish... more patient. What is it about that person? What's going on? Well, perhaps one of the things that's going on is, you see, they're connecting the gospel with their life. They're saying, God's been incredibly patient with me. So I can afford to be a bit patient with other people, can't I? See, that's how it works. That's the connect. Another characteristic. Encouragement. Yeah, somebody is an encourager. Who just lifts you. Not sort of false encouragement, but just reality. So another one there I didn't quite catch. Wisdom. Now I should a bit more. Where's that wisdom come from? Well, it's come from here, hasn't it? The wisdom of God that builds into our life day after day after day, so that, in the words of one famous scientist, Toffler, who talked about science as thinking God's thoughts after him, the Christian is doing that as second nature. Because we know the way of God, we're able to imbibe that wisdom, that everyday Christianity into our lives. Okay, I have another question for you. What one thing would you want to be remembered for? Okay? And I'm going to suggest you might talk to the person next to you about that, and I'll give you 1 minute, okay, it's the message, 1 minute. 1 minute to do that with the person. If you feel comfortable to do that, just do that. If not, just think to yourself, what do I want to be remembered for? What one thing do I want to be remembered for? Well, it's great to hear you chatting on that. I'd like to give you a bit longer, but Anybody want to share what you'd like to be remembered for? If you don't feel like that, I do know one or two people here who I might feel free to ask what they might want to be remembered for. So it might be wise to get in before I do. What do you want to be remembered for? As a good father. I want to be remembered as a good father. Giving to others, always having a reason to sing, joyful person. To have an impact, that's a great aspiration, to have an impact on my generation. Brilliant. Because that's the only chance we get. It's only that generation, isn't it? Well, we do get the generation to follow, but that's a great one. Yeah? Jamie. Yeah, no point putting your head down, mate. That is the worst thing you could do for a preacher. Because it's like an Excel set then, it kind of, as a man who served, yeah, that's Christ-like, isn't it? He came not to be served, but to serve. I want to be remembered as a man who served. Somebody else, while I was targeting Jamie, thank you. Encouragement through creativity, yeah. Finding creative ways of being an encouragement. Brilliant, thank you. Paul. As kind. Keep working at it, brother. You'll notice I'm not asking my wife at this point. Now, here's one final question. Thank you for all those. And I think Paul is a pretty kind guy. But how will you go about making that happen? What practical steps will you take to make that happen? I'll just give you 30 seconds to think about that. I won't invite your answer, but we need to think about that. Okay, if I want to be known for these things, what's got to take place now in the everyday of my everyday life to make that happen? I'll finish it with one illustration. A good friend of mine, Bob Robinson, one of the elders at Chessington, when we opened the King's Centre, he was given 18 months off work to help run the King's Centre. And Bob, being from Northern Ireland, had this wonderful Northern Irish accent. And after 3 months, he came up with this little phrase. He said this, "Christians are great at loving one another from a distance." See, so what had happened, you put him he probably thought for most of his working life, wouldn't it be great to be surrounded by Christians in my workplace? And then when the reality struck, he said, well, it's great in theory. I can love anybody from a distance. I can be kind to anybody from a distance. I can be patient to anybody from a distance. It's actually the person that God puts in front of me. And it starts with the family of God, and it starts with our own families and those closest to us. And it goes out like ripples, doesn't it, into our communities, into our workplaces and so on. We go about making it happen by taking the opportunities that are right before us, by instilling in our minds and preaching the gospel to ourselves every day. I belong to Christ. I bear his name. What a fantastic privilege. Lord, help me today on my front line to be the man, the woman that you want me to be. I can't do it in my own strength. I need your power. I need your perspective every day. I need to be reminded to be other person-centered. I was at a fraternal a few years ago, and at that minister's fraternal, the man said, can you tell me the best sermon that you've ever heard? And everybody did what Jamie just did a little earlier on. Everybody suddenly took a real interest in their shoelaces. All the heads went down because your mind goes blank. It really does. If I did that, tell me the best sermon, you come vroom. It just goes blank. So he said, okay, then tell me the person who most influenced you. All the heads came up. Everybody instantly had 2, 3, 4 people that they brought to mind to say, yeah, well, it's this person. And so often it was just the ordinary person alongside them who had shown them Christ, who had shown them kindness, who'd shown the compassion and care of the Lord, who profoundly influenced them, who prayed for them faithfully. You see, that's the impact that we have. And it's not done on the big stage. It's done on the front line every day in just 1,001 ways. So let's go in the power and strength and dependence upon God to our front lines. And let's seek to be people that will be remembered for the right reasons. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this day for the fact that if we are yours, we bear the sweetest name in all the world. But with that name, with that privilege, comes great responsibility. Father, we want to thank you for those people in our personal history who have shown and lived and spoken Christ to us and have brought us by their influence to where we are today. And Lord God, we want to, in our time, in our day and generation, simply be those who show by our lives, by our words, by our attitudes, by our actions, something of the fragrance and the sweet aroma of Christ. So Lord, as we go back to our front lines today and tomorrow throughout this week, we ask, Lord God, that you would have ringing in our minds and hearts that a good name is better than great riches. That on that great day of Christ, when we bow before him, as we just read in Philippians, that we will be those who will bear the name of the Lamb and in whom he is well pleased. Lord, help us daily by your Holy Spirit, we pray. Bless us and help us to encourage one another along the way. We ask it for the glory of our Saviour. Amen. Amen. Amen.